At Ritual, we're celebrating all moms this Mother's Day, current and aspiring. So whether you're looking for fertility support, natal choline, or our best-selling clinically backed prenatal, we've got you covered. Find your Ritual. Go to ritual.com/podcast and for a limited time, get 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Based on net sales from industry data, including Nielsen IQ, Stackline, and Numerator, as of Q4 2024 in top 5 products.
Come on in!
I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are Steel Magnolias. Two sisters who love family, traditions, and all things Southern.
We've got plenty of room at our table, so pull up a chair.
Hello, Lainey.
Hi, Laura Beth.
Well, you know, I wanted to welcome, we have some increased listeners.
Yay.
How fun is
that?
We
always like that.
We've had people that have been sharing about the podcast, and we so appreciate those that if you're enjoying the podcast that you're out there.
Share it with your friends. That's the best way.
Yes.
Because, you know, some people fall upon it, but don't you usually trust more if one of your friends tells you they're enjoying something?
Absolutely.
You're like, oh, tell me more.
Especially if you already know you have similar taste to that friend.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So I just wanted to welcome those of you that are new to listening to the Steel Magnolias podcast. And I wanted to also mention, since there are so many episodes up, I don't know if you're trying to like go back and listen to all of them. You can. I mean, go for it. But also, we're not building like a story. Nothing's
pop
like
in any at any point,
yeah,
anywhere that looks interesting. Jump
not,
in.
It's not sequential, I guess, is how you would say that.
Yeah.
But there are some that I feel like have in conversation come up lately that I'm like, yeah, we did an episode on that. So
I actually have that a lot where somebody's like, y'all should do blah 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 blah, and I'm like, we have,
like, we did. Yeah. So I wanted to mention that. If you didn't catch the episode this season, we're in season 2 right now. Season 2, episode 3 was called Southern with a Side of Healthy.
Yes.
I will link to that episode in our show notes, just since I'm mentioning it. But I guess it's summertime, so people are kind of trying to, even if they're
getting a bathing suit.
Even if they're not going to the beach, they're trying to maybe go for that beach body. So I'm not saying this diet.
Less fried foods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the diet that we mentioned in that episode would get you a beach body ready, but it's some nice alternatives to some of the butter and heavy flour and things that we tend to use in
lean towards
Southern
in
cooking.
The South. Well, another one that I think comes up a lot is people want to know more about Southern weddings, how to do a Southern wedding, where do a Southern wedding, all of that. We did a great episode about weddings. It was season 1.
Okay.
And it
yeah.
was episode 24.
Okay, cool.
So maybe link to that one. We are going to do more on weddings in the future. We have some, you know, ideas for that.
Yeah.
And we love hearing y'all's questions, too. So
yeah.
If you have specifics of something you want. But anyhow, we talked about a lot of wedding traditions and things like that. And
we went through a lot of wedding traditions that I think you could still, if I'm remembering correctly, apply even if you're planning right now during the worldwide pandemic. A lot
That's
of
true.
Them you could still do.
That's right. Not all of them are in huge groups or any of that.
Yeah.
So
I think about the one that in order to save yourself from having rain on your wedding day,
you
right?
plant the bourbon.
You go plant bourbon.
1 month ahead.
You could still do that in
Absolutely.
A time of pandemic. So anyway, if you are anywhere around weddings right now in your life.
Go check that one out.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I just feel like, you know, I was thinking through with magazines. It's not like they just do a topic and then they never touch it again. They're always freshening
For sure.
it up
yeah.
and bringing in new content around that subject. So we're going to be doing that.
Yes. Yeah.
Where the ones we've touched, we touch again.
But yeah.
We've already got a good bit of content.
I know. It's
this
fun.
This is fun that it's building.
Well, today we're talking about tomatoes. And I'm even thinking,
I'm dancing over here. You say tomato, I say tomato. I've never said tomato.
Who would say tomato?
Somebody from England.
Proper. Someone very proper.
Put some tomatoes in the salad.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking, first we just got to talk about the reason that tomatoes are really popular here in the South.
Okay.
Because it's stinking hot.
And they need heat. Do you know where they come from originally?
Like what country?
Or region. Like, what would you think of as where tomatoes would originate?
Italy? I don't know.
That's exactly what I would have guessed. Okay. Because I think through they make all those sauces and they use them in everything.
Yeah.
In that region.
Yeah.
South America.
Okay.
Is actually where they originate from. I think it was Peru.
Salsas.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I just thought that was kind of a little tidbit of
interest.
That's
fun to know.
And then there's the ever popular question of, is it a fruit or is it a vegetable?
Supposedly it's a fruit because it has seed, right?
True. But I have a fun tidbit for you.
Look at you with all your little nuggets of information today.
Did you know that this actually came before the Supreme Court?
No way.
I'm not even kidding. So let me give you details.
Wow.
There was, in 1883, President Arthur signed a tariff requiring a tax to be paid on imported vegetables, but not fruit.
Huh.
So clearly this is going to be an issue for somebody who's importing tomatoes.
Yep.
So there was a lawsuit that ended up going before the Supreme Court.
Oh, my gosh.
And you can look into that in great detail if you would like at a later date. But basically, this is what botanically, a tomato is a fruit. However, in common parlance, it is a vegetable, meaning just language.
Okay.
Hence, the United States Supreme Court ruled that a tomato is a vegetable for the purposes of the customs regulations.
So really, if you don't know the answer to that question,
you could say you're
right either way.
Either way. So isn't that interesting?
That's
botanically
crazy.
It's a fruit, but they said that it was a vegetable based on... I think because it was used in more as a main dish, not mm-hmm. as a dessert. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just thought, wow, that's kind of interesting and controversial still. But
it feels like more of a vegetable.
It does.
Like even all of the dishes that I'm going to talk about today, like
they're all.
If you were thinking about it being a fruit with all these cheeses and basil, I don't know. Like
yeah.
I don't want to get ahead of myself, but...
Oh, I'm going into that one, too.
Yeah. So, growing tomato plants, they are very easy to grow and remarkably productive.
And so much different if you're growing it yourself versus buying it in the grocery.
That's what everybody says. So. Every single person that grows tomatoes says that exact thing. Well, they're long season and they are heat loving.
That's right. That's why we do them in the South. You got to.
Yeah. They won't tolerate frost. So it's best to plant them as young plants in, once spring has actually come. Like, don't get excited. Get your tomato plants out.
Well, and there's different varieties that yield at different times.
Yeah.
So some people like to even get different ones. There's one called Early Girl that's like pretty quick to produce.
Okay.
And some of them take longer. So if you're like me and it's just me, I don't want every variety coming in at one time.
So true.
You can share them, but
yeah.
I'm not going to set a fruit stand up out. Or a vegetable stand, depending on where you are on that issue, to sell all that stuff.
Yeah.
So you kind of want them to come in at
different times.
So different varieties are fun for that reason.
True. I've heard cherry tomatoes are the easiest to grow. So if you're a beginner, that's what I've heard you should start with. I love cherry tomatoes.
Okay.
They're sweeter. The little baby ones. Yeah.
Great to just throw in salads and
yeah. You stuff. Don't even have to cut them sometimes.
That's true.
So. Yeah. Well, I have a neighbor named Annie. Shout out to Annie. And she thinks she is not a pro gardener, but in my eyes, she is. So that even means I think she is pro because she doesn't think she is. Well, I asked her about tomatoes and she said, even though every Southerner loves their heirlooms, that she doesn't think they are very easy to grow. The heirloom tomatoes.
Okay.
She said the bigger the tomato, the longer you have to wait for them to turn red and keep bugs away.
Yep.
So her trick is she picks tomatoes while they're still green. She wraps them in newspaper, and her grandma told her to put them on a tray and slide them under the bed, and they'll ripen that way.
No way. Never heard of
this. She said she's tried it, and it works, but she's still not sure why they need to go under the bed. So I talked to her even more about that. I was like, do you think it's just because it's dark? Cooler?
That is weird, because I would think they would need light. That's so interesting.
In newspaper. That's part of it, too. You got to wrap it in newspaper. But yeah, she said that Roma and Cherry, those are her easiest.
Romas are one of my favorites.
Me too. And, you know, you got to make sure and stake them. Give them support when they're still small. Once they get taller, it's hard to get them support that they need. And then one other trick I'll tell you that Annie mentioned, because this was so cute. She said, you might know this, Lainey, because you plant a lot. Plant tomatoes near basil and marigolds to help keep bugs away.
Okay, I have heard marigolds. I didn't know basil.
Well, I've heard Annie say in other contexts that I've talked to her about planting things, that you generally plant things with what they go with.
Ah, okay.
That they tend to, like, help each other somehow. And basil and tomato definitely pair well.
Gloriously together.
So, anyway.
Very interesting.
Thank you, Annie, for that.
Yes. Well, let's talk. First of all, there's so many different varieties. There's no way we can even cover
like,
that. I saw one thing that said there's 700 different types in cultivation today.
I heard that, too.
So, there's all different colors, which I think totally is fun.
Oh, for sure.
You see yellows, oranges, reds, purples, pink, all different varieties in color, shape.
Yeah, which means all sorts of tastes.
All different flavors, some sweet, some more acidic. Mm-hmm. And so we can't even answer all the questions for you because you got to go out there and taste and
that's
try
true.
Them.
This is going to be personal preference,
for sure. And in different things that you're making and things like that. But we did a great episode. I'm going to mention another one that I thought was so good. Season 1, episode 28 on heirloom seeds.
Oh, you did. You killed it on
that
one.
I loved that episode.
I was getting schooled on that.
I was too, but I just loved it so much. But check that one out if you haven't and if this is of interest. But I think sounds like Annie's very tried and true and knows what she's doing. But I do love some of the heirloom versions, and there's a couple of them that I think are pretty easy.
Okay.
Let's talk about heirloom.
Yeah.
For one, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
I liked something I saw in an article by Bon Appetit. It said about heirlooms, the seeds are what make an heirloom tomato an heirloom tomato. They're passed down from season to season, taken by the farmers from the tomato plants that produced the best fruit. Mm-hmm. So they keep the seeds of the really good flavored ones.
So smart.
This process allows farmers to select for certain desirable traits like juiciness, size, shape, or color. Heirloom tomatoes are also often open pollinated, which means they are pollinated naturally by birds, insects, wind, or human hands. Mm-hmm. No weird science modifications going on in the heirloom varieties.
Yeah.
And one thing you'll notice about a lot of the heirloom ones is their shapes are kind of sometimes weird. I'm going to use the word weird because they're just not like that perfect looking tomato. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, I think that's more beautiful.
Yeah.
When
it's not so perfect.
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So I like something that's like purple and
then looks
wonky.
Like it had some kind of wart on the side
exactly.
or something. Yeah.
Because to me, that's saying this is probably going to taste good.
Yeah.
Whereas something that's real perfect from the grocery is often, to me, got like a, like almost like a gritty, grainy taste.
Interesting.
To
it. Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah.
That I don't like.
Yeah.
And not as much flavor.
Yeah.
But the hybrid, just to kind of give a definition on that, is a mix of two varieties where they're blending it together, like modifying it to bring this variety and that variety together.
Okay.
In order to make, pull from the good of each.
Yes.
Now, if you're one who wants to keep seeds,
Yeah, you can't do that.
Well, you're only going to get one or the, you're right. not going to get, you'll get tomatoes yeah. if you keep the seed, but you're not going to get that hybrid that right. you had because it's going to only pull from the DNA of one of those, if yeah. you will. So that's the very generic version okay. of heirloom and hybrid. But if you want to know more about that, listen to our heirloom seed episode because so we went into a good bit of information on that.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's heirloom tomatoes. We've already mentioned Romas, cherries, tomatoes on the vine. I mean, that's even considered kind of its own variety. Cocktail tomatoes, green beefsteak tomatoes. A green tomato doesn't always mean unripe. I've mentioned that before, too.
Right. When we talk so right about... now, my tomatoes are green. Mm-hmm. So that... And they're firm, so I could fry them up yep. and make fried green tomatoes. Woo-hoo. But there's some varieties that actually are green when they are ripe.
Yes.
There's exactly. a zebra version that's real pretty,
yeah.
and
yeah.
it's not going to change from green.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's just a red beefsteak tomato, which that would be your salsa tomato, for sure.
Yeah. Those are
That's considered the king of tomatoes, is the red beefsteak.
It's a big one.
Yeah.
Now for a sandwich, we have a local, well, it's a Tennessee tomato. I think it's the only tomato that's like naturally from here mm-hmm. that was planted by Native Americans. It's called the Cherokee Purple.
Love it.
And it is, I think, the best sandwich tomato.
Yeah.
So good and juicy, and it's big.
Is that the one that you would kind of... Do you eat yours just sliced up with some salt and pepper?
No, I usually don't do that. Yeah. I know people do. Yeah. And I can eat that. Like if I have eggs, I kind of like a tomato that has a little salt on it. Okay. There's something about that that's good together to me.
Yeah.
I'm not, that's I've actually seen mom eat one like an apple where she just put a little salt and bit it. Like I've never done that.
Our mom.
I don't think I've seen her do that often, but she likes them enough that she can eat it.
Yeah.
Like that.
Wow.
Like fruit. I guess like, it's like a fruit.
She's on the bandwagon that it is definitely a fruit.
But, there's just so many different ones. There's, if you're making a sandwich, there's going to be particular ones you like. If you're making salsa, there might be particular ones you like. Sauces. I mean... Yeah. You just got to experiment and see
yeah.
what's what. I love when a salad has different colors.
Yeah.
And if you have really good tomato, I think the less you mess with it, the better.
Good point.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like if you have really good, flavorful tomatoes.
Yeah.
Just putting it with a little bit of, doing like a caprese salad
that yes. has
just some basil and
mozzarella ball.
Those mozzarella balls mm-hmm. and
so good.
A little balsamic reduction mm-hmm. on there. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
That sounds so wonderful.
Good.
Have you ever gotten the skin off tomatoes for making it a sauce? Or
I have. Not often.
Yeah.
I don't make a lot of homemade sauce.
Yeah. I haven't done that, and I have made homemade sauce, so I think it's interesting that because I've gotten just like those stewed tomatoes before done those in a sauce, but again, Annie being so pro, she was just saying, she definitely boils hers to get the skin off and then just runs them under cool water, and that okay. skin just kind of comes right off,
falls right off.
But that seems like a lot of work. So
well, homemade can make all the difference, though.
That's true.
In a recipe being good. And I wanted to even mention, if you do a caprese salad.
Yes.
Again, so simple. You just got to have the mozzarella, the basil, the good, juicy, wonderful tomato.
Yeah.
And then there is tomato. Have you ever made a balsamic reduction?
No, but I have down that. This is something that we need to mention on here.
You do? So, good. Yeah. Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So you can just take your balsamic vinegar mm-hmm. and make it. All you do is heat it up on the stove.
Okay.
I think if you take about 2 cups of balsamic vinegar,
okay.
it's going to reduce down to like a half a cup.
Wow.
So
do you get it just to boiling?
I put it just in a little, I've only done it a few times, but okay. just in a saucepan.
Yeah.
And just get it. hot. I don't know that I would say boiling and just stirring it.
Okay.
And it usually takes, I mean, it can take like 20 minutes to get it.
And you're stirring it the whole time?
Well, not nonstop. Okay. But pretty often.
Okay.
You know, just to get it thick. You want it to have like a thickness to it. And then you need it to cool down before you pour it on. But I also wanted to mention there's a great one that's just already made in the grocery.
Oh, really?
For people that don't want to mess with that. Yeah. The brand, I'm not even sure how you pronounce it. A-L-E-S-S-I.
Oh, I've You've seen it.
They do all the vinegars and oils and that kind of thing. They have a nice balsamic reduction already in the bottle.
Nice.
For $5 or $6.
Yeah.
And it's already done.
Well,
and so it's got that nice sweetness.
Perfect. We've mentioned even before, even at Christmas time, that that's a fun appetizer to put out. You can put it on skewers, like a cherry tomato.
Oh, true. We did because of the color.
Because of the colors, red and green, red, green, and white. So, yeah, that's definitely a fun. You know, I didn't even like tomatoes as a kid. It wasn't until adulthood that my palate changed in many areas. But
when you
tomatoes,
went to Spain, maybe.
Maybe.
Over in the area where they've got so much good.
Tomatoes was definitely one of those things that, you know, I would have always said, no tomatoes, no tomatoes, no tomatoes. But now, you know, I like it. And I was thinking when I got kind of on my own in early 20s, tomato pie was really one of the first things I followed along in a cookbook.
Okay.
And made. Isn't that funny? What a random...
Not really, if you're from the South.
Thing to...
Tomato pies are huge.
Yeah, I guess so. But I'd never thought about that. That was kind of my first thing. And I still make it. I follow that recipe in Food That Says Welcome.
By Barbara Smith. We love that recipe.
It is so good. And I'll just quickly mention it. It's also wonderful because you do buy a store-bought pie crust, and those come in packs of two. So it's also really nice because you can make two at a time.
Yeah, make one for your family and take one to somebody that's a new neighbor or just had a baby.
Or freeze. They freeze well. You can freeze it. They freeze okay, actually.
Yeah, I would say they freeze okay. Not great.
But yeah, I mean, it's basically a bunch of cheese, some mayonnaise, tomatoes, and a pie crust.
And basil.
What could go wrong, right?
Yeah,
yeah, and fresh basil. But I did, you know... The recipe I follow is called a tomato pesto tart, and in that mayonnaise mix, you're adding in Mrs. Dash.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of tomato pie recipes, if you just look those up online, they actually have you make some sort of a pesto paste.
Okay.
This one doesn't.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's kind
pesto
of...
Pesto's so good with tomato, too.
So good.
Oh, my gosh, I'm getting hungry on this episode. I am.
We usually don't get so hungry ourselves.
I've even heard with tomato pies of people using pimento cheese.
Oh.
And so that's similar. Think about the one we're making that has the...
That's true.
Has mozzarella, cheddar, Mrs. Dash, mayonnaise. You're making like a mix.
Yeah.
So it's not that unusual to just... instead put pimento cheese over those tomatoes in the pie crust. And anyway, there's lots of directions that you could go with what your flavor palette is.
That's true. We've eaten that tomato pie though, even for breakfast.
Oh, I love it for breakfast. What's wrong with that? That's not weird.
And then the other sort of my go-to in my early 20s from that same cookbook was that tomato basil bisque. Now, I haven't made that in a long time.
Super simple.
But it is so easy. Now, it's a bunch of canned tomato products. But
it's an easy thing to whip up if somebody comes for lunch and you weren't planning on having somebody for lunch or something like that.
Absolutely. Two cans of tomato soup, a can of evaporated milk, one can of petite diced tomato, salt, pepper. If you've got
and
any
fresh basil.
And if you
have
basil,
fresh basil, that makes it
seem even
more
pair
homemade.
Pair it with a grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
It's actually a perfect thing, too, if you do have, like, a large group that you're feeding and you're trying to do it on a budget.
Yeah.
That's a very cheap soup and
very
sandwich
good idea.
Meal.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I know people are
And then make a nice Gouda, yummy grilled cheese or something like that to go with it. Make it more gourmet. Well, another thing that's great about this, talking about tomatoes right now, is 'tis the season.
True. That's why we picked it, right?
Yeah. Like, mine, like I said, are all still... green. We're getting some color, but you know, late July and August is prime in the South for your tomatoes.
Yeah.
So yes, you can make caprese salad in December, but right now is when it's going to be fresh and flavorful.
That's very
You're probably getting some from the grocery if you're getting them in December.
Well, and one of the other things, just as I'm looking down my list of recipes, all of these seem to have very minimal ingredients.
That's what's so great, is if your tomatoes are good, you don't want a bunch of ingredients.
Like, I'm even looking at fried green tomatoes. All you would need are your green tomatoes, salt, pepper, cornmeal, maybe some bacon drippings.
Mm-hmm. And I like to make a little, like a spicy mayonnaise or something to go with it, or like some kind of little yummy.
So gourmet. Yes.
Some kind of spicy something to go on there, because it's kind of a still a little bit of a, I started to use the word flat flavor. Does that make sense? Like, you want it to have some
flavor
interest.
You're right. And for you and I, we love sauces and condiments much. So it is, it needs something probably to go with
it. Make it have a little kick.
That makes sense. Yeah, the whole country basically got in on fried green tomatoes when the movie came out.
That great movie and book.
That was 91. Can you believe that?
Don't even say that.
That's one of my favorite movies of all time, though. So if you haven't checked out Fried Green Tomatoes,
it's a goodie. It's a goodie. And then a bruschetta is another great thing to make if you have good tomatoes, to throw in some garlic and onion and, you know, kind of make just a nice, and just toast those little, just get a French baguette and cut it up. And, oh, it's just so good when you have a good tomato.
Yes.
You can also put that little balsamic reduction I was talking about on that.
On a bruschetta.
Ooh, so yummy.
We got to mention tomato aspic, since you mentioned that a few episodes back on our ambrosia and jello salads.
A Southern classic that I'm not sure that doesn't make me hungry. No. I'll just say that.
We called it the gelatin Bloody Mary.
That's right.
But people love it, so we got to mention it. And then tomato sandwich. How classic.
Let's
Southern.
Just talk about, if you have a great tomato, what better thing to do than just a tomato sandwich? Or if you got to have a BLT, that's good too.
Yeah, but you got to have white bread if you're going to do a tomato sandwich, right?
Maybe even just like Wonder Bread. A lot of people like that gummy white bread to go with the flavors. Put a little Duke's mayonnaise on there.
Pick the mayo of your choice. We're Duke's people. Some onion powder and salt and pepper. You know what? I'm reading right now a book on Miss Daisy, if you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you know anything about Tennessee history, she's been a restaurateur here in the Middle Tennessee, Nashville area for a long time. In Miss Daisy's cookbook, she says that tomato sandwich was a tradition for weddings in Tennessee.
Interesting. And I wonder if that's kind of like a cucumber sandwich in England. You know, they would often have those where they cut the crust off and there was those cute little cucumber sandwiches.
I don't know. I could not get my head around tomato sandwiches at a wedding, because it seems like such a cheap snack.
Well, weddings are different than weddings used to be.
True.
Think through, like, it used to be some nuts and mints at a little reception after.
That's very true.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's very true.
So maybe that was a fancy wedding list they had to even put tomato sandwiches out.
So true. Wow. That is really true.
Things, the love isn't less then, but certainly the hoopla was.
Well, I had never heard that. So I wanted to, maybe some of our listeners even served tomato sandwiches at their wedding. Well, I mean, those are just kind of some
That's just to get you starters. Hungry for tomatoes. But if you're not growing them yourself, go to your farmer's market and check out what they have there. I'm telling you, this is game changer compared to a grocery store tomato. Because if you're one that you were talking about in your 20s, and I'm the same, that was always like, no tomato, no tomato. If I'm getting something and certainly at a fast food place or something, I don't want that grainy, nasty tomato on there.
Yeah.
But it's a totally different thing if you're at a backyard cookout and they have a fresh tomato. Yeah. Sign me up for that. I want one on there.
So true.
So if you've always not enjoyed tomatoes, maybe branch out and try a couple that are from your farmer's market and see what you think.
Yeah.
It might be different.
Yeah. Good, good. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Steel Magnolias podcast. And hey, if you like what you hear and you are one that can just take a second, write us a quick review on whatever podcast platform that you listen on. It helps people find us. In fact, we have some New Zealand listeners now.
Oh, that's so fun.
Welcome, New Zealand. And they found us because of people writing up reviews.
That's
so
awesome.
It does help and it does matter. And so if you have a second, go give us some 5 stars and just a quick little note will help and go a long way. So y'all have a good week.
We appreciate you. Peace be with you.
And also with y'all.
Bye.
At Ritual, we're celebrating all moms this Mother's Day, current and aspiring. So whether you're looking for fertility support, natal choline, or our best-selling clinically backed prenatal, we've got you covered. Find your Ritual. Go to ritual.com/podcast and for a limited time, get 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Based on net sales from industry data, including Nielsen IQ, Stackline, and Numerator as of Q4 2024 and top 5 products.